We will call public health to order. Would you please take the roll? There's four. One, three. Yeah, five of us.
Don't matter to me. Yeah.
Go ahead and call the roll.
Vice Chair Glim.
He's excused. He'll be here in a minute.
Vice Chair Gross.
I'm here.
Senator Heinbaugh.
Here.
Senator Keenan.
He's excused.
Senator McGilvray.
He'll be here in a few minutes.
Senator McNally.
McNally is excused.
Senator Molnar.
Here.
Senator Sands.
Here.
Chairman Howard.
Here. Committee, we're going to be doing hearing four bills. The order that we will do is House Bill 39.
Do we have a quorum?
Yes, we do. And then we will do House Bill 275, 276, and 295. Would the sponsor of House Bill 39 please open with your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of Public Health, Welfare, and Safety. It pleases me to be here today to talk to you about House Bill 39. This bill came out of the Children, Families, Health, and Human Services Interim Committee, and the intent of this is associated with pilot projects in the courts involving child removals. There are pilot projects being undertaken in Yellowstone County, Flathead County, and currently being looked at in rural counties. I know there has been some interest moving forward in Beaverhead County with the judge down there, involving primarily, though it started in Yellowstone County, but with a 72-day hearing for the initial hearing after child removal, has kind of moved to a 5-day hearing, which accommodated being able to have the abuse and neglect cases on Tuesdays, Thursdays, so the lawyers knew what day that this hearing would happen on. And so this has been a very positive response to this. One of the things, we're starting to get data out, and one of the things that was mentioned in one of the previous committees was that prior to these pilot projects in this county, we were looking at around over 400 days to resolve these cases, and we have moved down to a little over 300 days. So we've saved around 100 days to solve these cases. So what this would do is, if I remember right here, looking at the dates, no later than September 30th, 2021, would provide information to the Children, Family, Health, and Human Services Committee as whether we have enough data to then put together a task force that then would expand the look at these pilot projects and how we could make it better than what they possibly are and put our legislative imprint on it. That's what I'm kind of liking about this. I do have two more bills that are moving forward. I believe they're scheduled for Monday. One's House Bill 90 and one's 503 are associated with a 5-day hearing line. And so that's attached to this, but we'll talk about that on Monday. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, sorry, as a point of personal privilege, I'd like the committee and folks in the hearing room to know that we had an odd situation with this bill. It is by request of the Children, Families, Health, and Human Service Committee, but the State Travel Relations Committee actually also approved this exact same bill. Mm-hmm. Legislative Services could not find out how to kind of make that work for two interim committees to bring it forward. So for the record, there was a second interim committee that took a good look at this, and I was going to be the sponsor, but decided to hand it to the good representative from Billings. He's been invested in this work for a long time, and I just wanted that for the record.
In the future, when you say that you have a personal privilege, you go through the chair, and the chair has to okay you to do that. Okay? You don't just start talking. Thank you. Is there any proponents for this bill? Proponents.
Good afternoon, Chair Howard and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Nanette Gilbertson, G-I-L-B-E-R-T-S-O-N. I'm here today on behalf of the Montana County Attorneys Association in support of House Bill 39. I do want to thank the sponsor. He has dedicated much time and effort into the issue of removals and dependent and neglect cases, as have the two interim committees that were just previously mentioned. A lot of work has been done. We think this is one of the better bills to come out of that effort, and it will provide not only a continued look at the pilot programs, but a continued look at the system overall and what we can continue to do to improve cases of removals. I also want to just point out that the working group does have a county attorney appointed, and we very much appreciate that and would look at putting one of our attorneys, county attorneys with great experience and expertise in the realm of dependent neglect cases, on that working group. So I'd encourage a do concur, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Further proponents.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good afternoon. Beth Brenneman from Disability Rights Montana, and we appreciate this bill. We often are called upon to help parents with disabilities who have interactions with CPS, and sometimes we're very concerned about how that goes. We also are really concerned about the length of placements of kids outside of the home, and also the out-of-state placements of children. We really need to be working on that. It's an incredibly important problem, and we're noted not in a good way nationally for it. So we hope that you support the bill. We really need to continue to monitor these programs. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents. We have one proponent online. Beth McLaughlin.
Good morning, or good afternoon, Chairman Howard, members of the committee. I am Beth McLaughlin, M-C-L-A-U-G-H-L-I-N, representing the judicial branch. We too want to thank Representative Lenz for his commitment to this issue in particular. Just by way of background for the committee, this pilot project is funded by a small federal grant in my office that's earmarked to make the court process work more smoothly for children and families involved in an abuse or neglect case. We've taken a portion of that money, about $100,000, and earmarked it for what are called pre-hearing conferences, and those are essentially mediation conferences between the department and the parents and the parents' attorney, so that everyone can agree on a treatment plan quickly and get moving on getting the children back together and being reunited. As Representative Lenz pointed out, we do have these programs currently in Yellowstone, Flathead, Lewis and Clark County, Butte Silver Bow, Gallatin, and then we will be adding the counties within the 5th Judicial District, which is Beaverhead, Madison, and Jefferson counties. Whether we'll bring all of them on at once, I'm not entirely sure. We need to work through that with the judges and the county attorneys. The one item that is a bit of a caution on the timeline of this project, and I know Representative Lenz knows this, we're not entirely sure how much data we'll have by September. One of the objectives here is to really condense the number of days that it takes from the date a case starts to when a case ends and a child is in permanency. It could be that by September we've only got 10 months of data. It should be enough for the group to decide whether they want to move forward with the formal study project, and we're certainly committed to doing the best we can to provide all of the data that's available. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and thank you to Representative Lenz for his commitment to this issue.
Thank you. There is no further proponents online. Is there any further proponents in the room? None. Is there any opponents? Is there any opponents? Is there any informational witnesses? No informational witnesses. Is there questions from the committee? Senator Sands.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I'll start with the good sponsor, please.
Chairman Howard, Senator Sands.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Representative Lamb, as you know, I also serve on this committee and I'm a big fan of this project as a really creative step forward. But we have a new federal program also coming in that's dealing with kids in these situations, the Families First program, which is really working hard to keep families together if we possibly can, provide wraparound services and try to work forward with it. How does that new federal initiative and new priority for the entire CPS division work with this particular model of get these kids into hearing and get this issue settled? How do those two work together?
Thank you, Senator Sands. Chair Howard, that's interesting you bring that up because I've been thinking about these ideas separately. things that would strengthen families, that would be associated with Family First. But I think that it does connect here in one sense, and Ms. McLaughlin touched on that, that many of these five-day hearings are kind of changing into pre-hearing conferences where we would get together the parent, their lawyer, the social worker, the county attorney would articulate where the problem is, and that would also be the apex of where you could also articulate where we could add additional resources in here to solve this problem. I'm glad you brought that up because I hadn't actually been thinking about the two together, but that is, I think, primarily where that would intersect, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Ann Lentz. I really am very excited about this proposal.
Further questions? Would the representative like to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I appreciate your interest in this. Senator Gross touched on something that was encouraging in the interim, too, is that other committees were interested in this. And the Native American population, children within that, is an ongoing concern of mine. And we need to quantify that, and I think that this will help associated with that. And ultimately, this provides legislative oversight within this realm of a system that is changing for the good. And so this is where I think this is going to work really well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. That'll be all with House Bill 39. Now we will move to House Bill 275, and for the sponsor, do we have it in the right order for you? Yes, okay. Then open on House Bill 275.
I think. Do you want to go first? Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the question. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Mary Cafero, spelled C-A-F-E-R-R-O, and I am so happy to be back in the Senate, even just for a short time. House Bill 275 is, I bring before you for your consideration House Bill 275 and respectfully ask that you give it a due pass. House Bill 275 is very important to Montanans who have disabilities and senior citizens who long to live in their home, as well as people with physical disabilities, children to cradle to grave. The reason for that is House Bill 275 says that when money that is appropriated for community-based services are to stay with community-based services. And what that means is we basically restrict that appropriation. The word, I know you're all familiar with the lingo around human services, the word is waiver. And when you say waiver, that's what I'm talking about, the programs for community services. You've seen this bill before you before in other sessions. What happened before is the bill passed out of the legislature and the governor vetoed it. Governor Bullock vetoed it. Why do we need to tell the department to spend money the way that we intended it to be spent? What has happened in the past is that money has been transferred out of this program, community-based services program, to fix problems in other parts of the budget. And the problem with that is the community-based services programs all have waiting lists, all three, the mentally ill, the programs for the mentally ill, for people with physical disabilities, and senior citizens. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll sit and ask you that you please give this a due pass. When we appropriate the money and leave here, this bill will ensure that the money goes for the people it was intended to provide the services that they need. Thank you.
Thank you. Proponents, do you have any proponents for House Bill 275?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Beth Brenneman from Disability Rights Montana. Sorry about that with the microphone. We support this bill like we did the last time it was brought to the legislature. And the reason that we do is that we spend a tremendous amount of time down in Part B to ensure that sufficient amounts of money go to the waiver programs, and that's waiver in developmental disabilities, in psychiatric, and for senior long-term care. These are for people that have very disabling conditions and very, very little money. And it's important to fund these programs because they divert them from institutional care. In fact, they have to be qualified for institutional care before they can qualify for a waiver. And we work very hard, and both parties agree that it's important to fund these programs. And year after year, biennium after biennium, we see reversions from the programs into other things. And we feel that that's caused the very large waiting list that we have in DD services. We have 2,500 people who are getting waiver services and 2,300 people who are waiting for them. That doesn't make any sense. That's not how we want to do things. And when you're on a waiting list, you don't get services. And honestly, you don't work and you don't do all of the other things that you could do if you had those services with developmental disabilities. It's true with senior and long-term care and psychiatric too. And we think that when the legislature says that these programs should be funded, they should be funded. So we hope that you support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Matt Kuntz. I'm the executive, KUNTZ. I'm the executive director for NAMI Montana. We're a grassroots organization that supports, educates, and advocates for Montanans who live with mental illness and their families. And we rise in support of this bill, and we thank Representative Cafaro for carrying it.
Thank you. Further proponents.
Good afternoon, Chairman Howard, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Adrienne Cotton, C-O-T-T-O-N. I'm here before you as the director of the Montana Area Agencies on Aging Association. We're the leading provider of community-based services across Montana. And I'm also here on behalf of AARP Montana and our 145,000 members age 50 and older. We rise today in strong support of House Bill 275 and commend Representative Cafaro for bringing forth this bill. Medicaid, home, and community-based services allow people to age at home, in their communities, surrounded by the people that they love. This bill establishes that funds be used for the purpose intended by you, the legislature, and explicitly lays out priorities to ensure that the funds are allocated to meet the needs of our community. Home and community-based service waivers allow aging services to support older adults and their caregivers to live autonomous lives and to avoid costly institutionalization. So, for example, in 2020, with the support of waivers, the Area Agencies on Aging provided more than 1.5 million home-delivered and congregate meals in Montana. We provided 100,000 rides and 59,000 hours of personal care and homemaker services. The growth in our older population is unprecedented, and in the last 20 years, the funding for the Area Agencies on Aging has increased 20%, while the population receiving services has increased 63%. And finally, in the year 2000, 13% of Montanans were age 65 and older, but by 2030,
That number will have doubled to 26%, significantly exceeding those under age 18 for the first time. We are a well-earned lifeline during a stage that most of us will face, and it is critical that the funding you allocate toward these goals remain dedicated to their intended purpose. We have the utmost confidence in Governor Gianforte's appointment, Director Meyer, and we're looking forward to working with his team to help this administration better meet the needs of our aging population. We're confident that the new administration will work hard to meet the goals laid out by our legislature, and this bill will provide a layer of support to that end. Thank you, and we urge your support.
Thank you. Further proponents? Is there any further proponents? Is there any opponents in the room? No opponents in the room. Online, there is an opponent, Marie Matthews.
Mr. Chair, Marie Matthews is not currently online.
Okay. Is there any other opponents in the room? None. Is there any informational witnesses? Is there any questions from the committee? No questions from the committee. Would the sponsor like to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'd like to close, but the two troublemakers on my left aren't paying attention. Okay, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, if you look at lines 17 through 19, that is the heart of this bill. When we leave the legislative session, we have put together a budget with a lot of thought, commitment, and time. And oftentimes what happens when we leave the session is money goes to other places. This bill simply says that we prioritize the intent, and that is to support people in the community. I do have a handout, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, yes.
This handout is a legislative analysis of Section B's Human Services budget from 2015. And it gives an example of exactly what I'm talking about, which is the problem. What it says is base budget Medicaid services costs include. So this is Medicaid services. And this is an analysis of what happened during the session. Base budget Medicaid services costs include $7.5 million in payments to settle two lawsuits, including $3 million general fund for the South Point office space development lawsuit. So this is an example of why we need this bill, so that we know that when we leave the session, the money we appropriated gets used for what we intended rather than to pay lawsuits. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and that's my close, and I'll pass this out.
Thank you. That'll be all with the hearing on House Bill 275. Would the sponsor of House Bill 276 like to open on her bill?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just 1 minute, please. I have to switch my papers here.
Take your time.
I apologize.
You are totally forgiven. You don't need to apologize. We understand.
Where I put it? Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Representative Mary Cafero, spelled C-A-F-E-R-R-O, and I bring before you for your consideration House Bill 276, and respectfully request you give it a due pass. As it turns out, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I can't find my opening for House Bill 276, but I'll just explain what it does. House Bill 276 puts two peer support specialists on the Board of Behavioral Health. Peer support specialists have had a history, a recent history, of improving the lives of many people in Montana. A peer support specialist works peer-to-peer. And in Montana, we started a few sessions ago by providing licensing to professionalize this service. And then last session, I believe, we approved that it could be paid for with Medicaid. And so this is the next step. They provide a very important service. In my closing, I can talk more about that. And with that, I just respectfully request a due pass to put two peer support specialists on the Board of Behavioral Health. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to proponents. How many proponents are in the room? Okay. I can't hear that. Okay. I'll just ask you, as the proponents, to be efficient. Please don't read to us. Summarize what your statement is. This is a pretty simple bill, and get to the point, and that does the most good. Please come up and please get in line.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Amanda Walton. I am a peer services coordinator with Montana's Peer Network, and I am here as a representative for the committee that is bringing this bill to you today.
Please spell your last name.
Absolutely. W-A-L-T-O-N.
Thank you very much.
So I am here today to support this bill. We are seeking two seats on the Board of Behavioral Health. At this time, we are the only profession that is overseen by that board that does not have any representation on our oversight. So that's the primary reason that we are here and requesting two seats. We also would like to point out the fact that we serve people across the behavioral health spectrum. So we are not, we do not differentiate between mental health and substance use. It's everybody. We support all of them, and we bring the value of the lived experience and the recovery that we demonstrate in our own lives. And so we look forward to being able to provide that for the board. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents, please do step up and sort of get in a little bit of a line, and we make this efficient as we can.
Good afternoon, Chairman, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. My name is Ashley McLean, M-C-L-E-A-N, and I am part of the CPAC committee, which brought this bill forth, and I am a proponent of House Bill 276. I think about a world where, you know, you as legislators represent your constituents, and that's basically what we're asking for, is that we have a representation of our profession, right? I think about a world where, you know, if you guys weren't able to be the voice for your people, what would happen, right? And so that's really what we're asking for, is as a new profession, we want to have a voice and a choice in what happens in our profession. And like our sponsor said, it is the next logical step. So I am a proponent of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. And please spell your last name. Thank you.
Michelle Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. And I want to, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I respect that we aren't to read, but I do have a quote, so I will read that. I want to reflect on the mission of the Board of Behavioral Health as it is written, okay? And I quote, "The mission of the Montana Board of Behavioral Health is to protect the health and safety and well-being of Montana citizens through the regulation and oversight of licensed clinical professional counselors, licensed clinical social workers, licensed marriage and family therapists, licensed addiction counselors, and certified behavioral health peer support specialists." So currently it's plausible that the Board of Behavioral Health really cannot fully embrace its own mission to protect the health, safety, and well-being of Montana citizens without us on the board, because we bring to the table a keen knowledge of the scope of practice and the code of ethics that we are bound to. And so I just ask that you support this bill, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Please move forward. If you want to take your mask off and speak, you're welcome to.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Matt Kuntz, K-U-N-T-Z. I'm the executive director for NAMI Montana, and we have been working to develop and expand peer support in Montana for the past decade or more, at least the past decade that I've been on there, and in the meetings when we were forming things like that, the ethics and the practices, all that stuff that was just described. We have done that over the course of the past 10 years, and it really has moved along well. Now, the last quote that I heard was that there was 100 peer support specialists in the state of Montana. The Board of Behavioral Health has been wonderfully supportive for bringing peer support specialists on board, but I do think it is time that they're ready for representation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further proponents, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. My name is Bill Deavel, D-E-A-V-E-L. I'm a proponent of House Bill 276. We need representation on the Behavior Board of Health.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Chair. My name is Erica Durham. I am the creator of Extraordinary Distances and Sidestep Recovery in Helena, Montana.
Please spell your last name.
Durham, D-U-R-H-A-M. I sat on the committee that helped write this bill, but this is where I stand alone. In 2003, I was involved with a case where a medical professional lost his license due to the violation of code of ethics against me. He violated his trust with me and other individuals where he lost his license. I had went to this individual seeking help in my recovery. At that point, he lost his license. I also decided I could no longer trust the profession that was there to protect me. And at that time, I went on 14 years on and off with substance use disorder, treating my own concurring mental health issues because I could not trust a professional. It led me to correctional facilities, institutions, places and dark places I didn't want to be in. It was through a 12-step program and a person with lived experience that I was able to gain the trust back. And over time, I was able to seek professionals that had lived experience. And that's how I found my recovery. The two seats on the Board of Behavioral Health for peer support specialists, that lived experience matters to people seeking recovery to gain that trust back. I am here to say peer support specialists, and as a peer, they earn the trust of the people they serve. Thank you.
Thank you. Please do step forward and try not to repeat.
Hello, Chair. My name is Debbie Montoya, M-O-N-T-O-I-A. I am a peer support as well and self-owned transitional living facility that is being created for Helena, Montana. I have a similar story with her. We share as well. My rights were violated as well with a trusted individual that had violated the law and my privacy, and I no longer felt safe with people that I should have been able to go to as far as my recovery, my kids, things that I needed confided in to help myself as far as mental behavioral, mental issue stuff that I was struggling with along with addiction. That particular person also lost their license, leaving me in a place of limbo. Who can I trust? Who can I talk to? Who is safe? I then continued my journey in addiction for 15 years. I have four kids. Almost lost my four kids twice, and peer support was not an option nor available, nor did I trust anybody, given the circumstances to my previous things that had taken place. So thankfully, with the grace of God and the 12-step program, I was able to pull through my addiction and am now able to be a part of the peer support board and help people like me, women like me that didn't feel safe, didn't have a place to trust, were losing their kids, their homes, their lives, themselves. I think these two spots for peer support is very much needed. We deserve to have a voice. We deserve to be heard. We are someone's mother. We're someone's wife, someone's daughter. That's it.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Further proponents? Is there further proponents? Now, we have a number of proponents online. And if you can hear me, I would like you to try to keep your testimony exact and condense it to what the bill is. First, we have Michelle Lewis.
Mr. Chairman, that is me, and I'm here in person. So
okay. So you're going to have a hard time being in two places at once, right? And I think the next person is it Erica Grove?
Mr. Chair, Erica Grove is not currently online.
Okay. Next one is Clement.
Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Clemente Arciga, A-R-C-I-G-A. I am from Missoula, Montana. And I think this bill is great. I like it. I hope you guys do pass it. And thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Next is William Hartford.
Mr. Chair, William Hartford is not currently online.
Okay. Lori Pope.
Mr. Chair, Lori Pope also is not online.
Okay. Can you tell me who is online?
Mr. Chair, we have Christy Black and Shyla Patera are both online for proponents.
Christy? You're on mute. There you go.
Sorry. Sorry, I'm not used to the way this works. Hello, I'm Christy Black. That's B-L-A-C-K. I am a certified peer supporter in the state of Montana. And I just wanted to say that we peer supporters are respected enough for having licensing and certification. And who better to understand what would be needed for those licensings and certifications than other peer supporters. We do not just peer support our community as in people who need help, but we peer support each other. We peer support other peer supporters. This is not a new concept. This is a global initiative that is going on everywhere, and Montana is behind the times. We deserve these two seats to have representation for us, for ourselves, with people who understand what we need and what we require and what we represent. Thank you.
Thank you. Shyla Patera.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Shyla, S-H-Y-L-A-P-A-T-E-R-A, and I am a Montanan with a disability, and I also work for and represent North Central Independent Living Services in Black Eagle, Montana. I first would like to say that we at Nichols support this bill, and we also support our peer support network, who has worked very hard to become certified and lead much of Montana's mental health recovery. As you've heard from the testimonies of both peer supporters in the room and online, peer support is very important for mental health and physical disability recovery. We applaud them for all the work that they do, and we ask that the two seats are appointed after you concur and pass this bill on, and we appreciate all your work as a committee. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. There's no further proponents online. Is there any further proponents in the room? Is there any opponents in the room? Please do step forward.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Elaine Maronick, M-A-R-O-N-I-C-K. I am an LCPC, a licensed clinical professional counselor, as well as a licensed marriage and family therapist in private practice. And I'm here in opposition of this bill for the simple reason of the two seats. I believe you may have my testimony before you. I did submit it on Zoom. So stop me if I'm just taking time here.
I think we do have it, yes.
You do have it. Yeah, I'd like to just give a shout out to these specialists before I say anything else. I think they do great work and are a lovely addition to the field. I was actually in their shoes in 2011 when we were getting the marriage and family therapist bill through. We were granted licensure, and for 6 years, we did not have any representation on the board. In 2017, we requested one seat and were granted one half seat. And the board representation still stands as that. There is one representative that is that has to be either an LCPC or an LCSW along with an MFT to represent the MFTs on the board. There is current legislation that has already passed the House for the MFTs to have a seat on the board and probably will be coming to your committee. There are two main reasons I wanted to bring this to your attention, and one was just simply the demonstration of establishing a credential. It's important to give the industry time and opportunity to establish a profession, just as we did with the MFTs. I'm happy to give examples of that. I won't take the time to do that now. Today, the MFTs are a crucial part of the board. They're fully integrated and still underrepresented. I think a relationship that can establish credibility as people who are capable of being on the board is very important. And that took us quite a bit of time to do. So all I'm really asking is if we could just grant them one seat. I think it is important that they have representation. I think at this time, especially with the MFTs only having a half a seat, that one seat would be adequate. So I would just ask you to consider that as a compromise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any further opponents in the room? We have one opponent online, Carol Burrows.
Hello. Good afternoon, Chair Howard and members of the Senate Committee. My name is Carol Staben Burrows, last name B-U-R-R-O-U-G-H-S. I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor and member of the Board of Behavioral Health. The board opposes House Bill 276. However, let me start by saying the board does agree with the sponsor and proponents that qualified certified behavioral health peer support specialists fill a vital role and provide very necessary services for the citizens of the state. However, adding additional seats to the licensing board is an unnecessary additional cost. We recognize the work that they do with other behaviorals or other individuals with behavioral health disorders. However, they are not trained clinicians and are only required to have 40 hours of training to qualify for certification. Due to the nature of peer support, all peer support specialists are required to be supervised by at least one of the following licensed and trained professionals: the clinical social worker, the clinical professional counselor, the marriage and family therapist, the licensed addiction counselor, a physician, psychologist, or an advanced practice registered nurse. So all of these professions that are qualified to supervise peer support specialists are already represented on the Board of Behavioral Health. And so those professions bring the necessary subject matter expertise to set licensing qualifications and consider disciplinary actions in relation to peer support. So adding two peer support specialist seats to the board would only increase the administrative costs for operations without providing any clear gains in the subject matter expertise used to carry out the board's mission to protect the public health and safety. So the board thanks you for your time and asks you to oppose this bill. I am available for questions, as are the department staff, if you have any.
Thank you very much. Is there any other opponents? Is there any informational witnesses? Is there any questions from the committee? Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the bill sponsor, please. Mr. Chairman and Representative Cafaro, thank you for bringing this bill. In regard to some of the opposition, it was mentioned that a certain other profession had established their credentials over a period of 6 years, I believe. Can you tell the committee when the peer support specialist licensure and credential was established?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gross, I believe it was in 2000. Let's see, it's 20, I believe it was 2017.
Yes.
But okay.
Yes, that's right. And so then we are now in 2021. So that would be four. Help me with my math. How many years then have we had this credential for peer support specialists?
Four.
4 years.
Mr.
Yes.
Chairman.
Okay. So that seems pretty comparable. In my mind, to the 6 years that was mentioned by one of the opponents. And can you talk about why it's very important and why you're asking for two peer support specialist positions on the board?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I have here the makeup of the board according to the statute. And well, I'll start with this. One of the opponents talked about having their profession as half a person on the board, and that there's a bill coming your way to change that. And so I guess that's a recognition that a half a person for representation or one does not work too well. And I think that the opponent makes the point for what this bill calls for, and that is two.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Follow up.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and Representative Cafaro. It strikes me because I have been here through the time that we established the peer support specialist credential, and as we worked last session to ensure that peer support specialists could bill Medicaid for their services and that folks could receive those services and have it paid for by Medicaid. But one of the things that has always struck me about peer support specialists is for someone who is struggling with addiction or mental illness, it can be very intimidating to go sit with someone. And we had witnesses today talk about having their trust violated by a provider. Why is it so important to have folks who have been in the trenches, who aren't necessarily, you know, wearing white coats like a physician? And what value, you know, does that bring to a client who is seeking services for addiction or mental illness?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gross, the board currently is made up of 9 members, and if we were to add one member, it might. And I respect all of these different professions, believe me. However, it might not feel comfortable to be the only one representing the peer support specialist on the board for all of the reasons that you already stated. There, it is intimidating. One of the opponents also said, you know, it's a matter of credibility, capable of being on the board, a matter of training and education. That kind of attitude and looking through the lens of stigma, it creates stigma. And so I understand just by listening to the opponents why they would want to on the board. It's intimidating.
Certainly. I thank you, Representative Cafaro. I can appreciate that, having sat in many rooms, being in an extreme minority, and having my my credibility or my comments not taken in the same regard. So I appreciate that answer very much. Thank you. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions? Would Mr. McGilvray, Senator McGilvray, sorry.
This is for the sponsor. Representative Cafaro, there's been a lot of, we had some back and forth here. We should not have any of them on peer support specialists. One would be intimidating. But I noticed that on line 14, you have three members, social workers, three licensed professionals, one of which should be a marriage and family therapist. What about an amendment that would cut one of those individuals and just add a peer support specialist to one peer support specialist? That way you don't increase the board and you don't have any extra cost. What would you think about that? Are you favorable to something like that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McGilvray, I am not.
Okay, thank you.
I think that there's enough opposition without interfering with the current makeup of the board. This isn't about competing or one group over another. It's about all of the groups can collaborate and value all of their different experiences when they come together.
Follow up. So if you would rather see the bill die than have that amendment, is that what you're saying?
Mr. Chairman, Senator McGilvray, no, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, does the committee have a fiscal note? Because I don't.
Yeah, we do. Sorry, Mr. Chairman, there is a fiscal note. That's $4,158 a year.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Would the sponsor like to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I have to say that the group of peer support specialists that asked me to sponsor this bill, I'm so glad we found each other. I mean, what a great group of people. And as Mr. Kuntz said, they've been working and working and working to get to this point. And now it's time for them to have representation on the board that regulates and oversees them. That's all they're asking for, is that they can represent themselves and the people that they serve on the board. There are 100 of them. They should have representation. It's about valuing their work, and that's what it's about. Thank you.
Thank you. That'll be all with House Bill 276. Now we will move on to House Bill 295.
Okay.
Would the sponsor like to open? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I am so sorry. You will learn that I guess it's not a good idea to have me scheduled three bills in a row. Found it. Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Representative Mary Cafaro from House District 81, and I bring before you for your consideration House Bill 295 and ask that you give it a due pass. This bill makes it explicit in Montana law that clinical social workers and therapists can treat chronic pain. This bill is a road-widening bill, not a trailblazing bill. There are already licensed clinical social workers and licensed clinical professional counselors who are using psychotherapy to treat chronic pain. However, the licensing language does not explicitly state that they can provide that kind of care. So the purpose of this bill is to make it more obvious to everyone in the mental health and chronic pain treatment system that cognitive behavioral therapy for chronic pain should be available to provide better care to patients while reducing the medical system's reliance on opioids. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, please give it a due pass.
Further proponents, please do step up.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. It's nice to see you all in person rather than on Zoom. For the record, my name is Zoe Bernard. That's spelled B-A-R-N-A-R-D. I'm the administrator for the Department of Public Health and Human Services Addictive and Mental Disorders Division. And I'm actually here in my capacity as the State Mental Health Commissioner in support of HB 295. HB 295 allows for licensed therapists to bill for, quote, psychotherapeutic interventions or techniques to treat chronic pain. In the mental health world, the most common and one of the most well-researched psychotherapeutic techniques is cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a skills-based approach that was developed in the 1970s. CBT is a method that helps a person to correct specific errors in thinking that produce negative or painful feelings. It's typically brief, and people usually experience pretty rapid and lasting relief with it. In order to provide pain relief, it encourages patients to develop a problem-solving attitude. This is important because chronic pain can encourage a sense of learned helplessness. So if you take action against the pain, no matter what the action is, you actually feel more in control and able to impact the situation. Basically, CBT gives patients a way to manage chronic pain by themselves. So if necessary, patients can still take pain medication with psychotherapeutic interventions. But by using CBT and other evidence-based techniques, patients learn ways of managing pain on their own, and they're able to reduce their reliance on pain medication, including opiates. CBT as an intervention to treat chronic pain is well-researched, and it, the research that I could find goes back to 1993, but there are a few studies from 1968 to 1973 about using critical thinking skills for pain relief. A 2018 study from the Global Pain Clinician Summit showed conclusively that integrating CBT into a primary care office reduced opioid use among chronic pain patients without significantly altering their pain intensity. In 2017, the National Institutes of Health actually showed similar success, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that clinicians do consider CBT as part of a protocol for treatment as an alternative to opioids. Representative Cafaro's bill is a wonderful opportunity to put research into practice. It may help with the opioid epidemic, but if it's passed, I guarantee you it will help people in Montana who are struggling with chronic pain. Thank you for the opportunity to support this bill, and I urge it to pass.
Thank you. Further proponents.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Matt Kuntz, K-U-N-T-Z. I'm the executive director for NAMI Montana, and we're really grateful to Representative Cafaro for carrying this bill. This is a bill that we asked her to sponsor. It is as narrow and specific as we could possibly be. I mean, this was developed when we saw in a study across the VA system that I was fortunate to be a part of, all of the good things that they were working on for mental health and chronic pain. And down in Tampa, I was able to meet the person that developed the VA program that's using chronic pain CBT to help veterans get off of opioids and deal with their chronic pain. And my eyes lit up, and I wanted to learn more and studied it. And we're really grateful to have this bill. And arguably, you might not need this bill, but the challenge is, because there are people that are already doing this, but it's the perception of what's the brain and what's the body when it comes to chronic pain. And that's the reason why we want to clarify in the license that this is a legal and effective practice. You'll see that the only two really working parts of this bill are in the definitions of social work in section one and the definitions of counseling in section four, where we just made it very clear that they can use psychotherapy for chronic pain. Everything else in this bill was to ensure that making those changes didn't inadvertently change something else. We had a significant number of questions in the House as part of that, so I did develop a handout that answered every single one of them. And if I can pass that out, Mr. Chairman, and I also have a systematic review that describes a lot of what Ms. Bernard was saying.
Yes, without objection. Please do.
Thank you, and we're really grateful to the committee for hearing this bill.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, on this wonderfully blue sky Friday afternoon. My testimony is going to be quite brief so you can actually see the sunlight outside out of this room. I'm Jean Branscum. It's B-R-A-N-S-C-U-M. I'm the CEO of the Montana Medical Association. We represent physicians in the state. We have about 1,400 members, and we also are an essential voice for our patients. We too want to thank Representative Cafaro to bring this bill forward, and we value the clarification and the specificity of the bill. We think that is a good bill and a good direction to go. You know, there are quite a few individuals that are suffering from chronic pain. It's a very difficult situation to treat. And in fact, we went down the pathway, as all of you know, to treat chronic pain essentially with opioids, thinking that was the right way, and learned later that that wasn't effective in all those situations. And we ended up with some addiction issues. Chronic pain can be very debilitating. In fact, it's one of those medical conditions that's listed when you think about people who end up completing suicide. Chronic pain and the inability to address that appropriately sometimes takes people down that pathway. So chronic pain is a very difficult treatment regimen to go down, to find one that works for individuals. This is just another option in the toolbox. We need all the tools we can when it comes to chronic pain. Simply put, this is a good bill. I think it's an easy, quick win, and we encourage it to pass.
Is there any further proponents? There's no proponents online. Is there any opponents? Is there any opponents? No opponents online. Is there any informational witnesses? Are you an informational witness or an opponent?
My name is Robert Leach, L-E-A-C-H, and I come as just a concerned citizen.
As a proponent or opponent?
As opposing the bill.
Okay.
The psychotherapy is a very broad term. And having had a son who was a disabled vet with both physical and mental problems, have had to deal with both at the fort and with Golden Triangle psychotherapists. In the line 18, it says to modify internal and external conditions that affect individuals. That means to me that drugs might be involved. And that concerns me a great deal, because we're not talking about dishing out aspirins or Tylenol. Psych drugs are very powerful, multiple side effects, everything from weight gain to liver damage and heart trouble and so on. My son died at 49 years old after just about 12 years of using these psych drugs. According to the coroner, his body just gave out. And it, you know, so we're not talking about about, like I said, even aspirin is dangerous. And if they're allowed to give any kind of medication without the medical training to go with it, pharmaceutical training, I'm afraid that you're opening a Pandora's box. And just on the lighter side, being a conservative Republican, having run for state office as a legislative candidate a couple times, and I hear an opposing party use a term, conservative Republicans have
Please start, sir, you need to stay just on the bill, and Republicans or anything or not.
I'll share this on the bill with you then later, but it's very dangerous, whether it's even aspirin and Tylenol. If they're doing internal and external, that means pharmaceuticals, and I oppose this bill.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further opponents? Is there any informational witnesses? Is there questions from the committee? Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think for Ms. Bernard.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gross.
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Bernard, could you address the concerns of the opponent? He was referencing page 1, paragraph 4, so lines 17 through 20, which look to me like their current law. And can you discuss how this bill would or would not impact the concerns that he raised?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gross, nothing in this bill that I see allows therapists to administer medication. This bill is about psychotherapeutic interventions that do not involve ingesting anything.
Okay, and so just to be clear then, Mr. Chair.
Do you have a follow-up?
Follow-up.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Bernard. So then just to be clear, that paragraph 4, that is current law, and the bill doesn't change anything in regard to dispensing of medication.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gross, you are correct.
Thank you.
Senator Sands.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question also for Ms. Bernard. Time to get your exercise.
Mr. Chair, Senator Sands.
And so nice to see you. First of all, let me say, for the opponent, Mr. Lynch, we're so sorry about the loss of your son, and we know that so many people have passed away as a result of the consequences of untreated chronic pain. But for Ms. Bernard, Mr. Chairman, one of your first sentences, you made a reference to something that caught my ear, and that was, relative to billing, is part of the need for clarity in this that they are, that this is a legitimate practice? Have there been any challenges to the ability to bill for this particular service relative to chronic pain?
Mr. Chair, Senator Sands, this bill does not direct Medicaid or, as I can tell, any other payer to cover this intervention. Medicaid, I can tell you, does currently cover cognitive behavioral therapy, and we do, as you know, cover services by therapists and licensed clinical social workers.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Follow up.
So to your knowledge, there really isn't a billing problem in using this particular treatment modality for the treatment of chronic pain?
Mr. Chair, Senator Sands, I would state it differently. I would state that this bill doesn't deal with the payment.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Ms. Bernard.
Further questions from the committee? Senator Glimm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll give Ms. Bernard a break, and we'll ask the sponsor question. Mr. Chairman, Representative Cafaro, so Ms. Bernard gave us an example of this practice, one of these techniques. Are there any others? Do you have two more, or do you know of any others?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Glimm, do I know of two more examples? Is
yes.
that the question? May I please defer so that you get an accurate?
Sure.
Thank you to Mr. Kuntz.
Yes. Mr. Kuntz.
Mr. Chair, Senator Glimm, the only psychotherapeutic technique that's been evidence-based and proven for this is cognitive behavioral therapy for chronic pain. The reason that we didn't specify that particular one in the bill is then when the next one comes up and gets proven, then we'd have to go back and rework it, and the licensees don't like you digging in and saying exactly which ones, but the only one that I've heard about being proven to work is cognitive behavioral therapy for chronic pain, and in the abstract of the systematic review, it only says cognitive behavioral therapy as being proven to work.
Thank you. Further questions? Would the representative like to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, and thank you to the proponents that came to help out, and thanks for having a whole afternoon to get your weekend started off right of Mary Cafaro Bills. I really do miss being here, I'm telling you. You're such a kind group of people. Anyway, thank you so much, and I hope you'll give it a due pass.
Thank you. Well, use your imagination. Committee, let's break for about 10 minutes, and let's come back, and let's try to do, I think that we have actually 5 bills that we can do executive action on. If I'm not mistaken, SB 312, Senate Joint 14, House Bill 37, House Bill 43, and House Bill 208.
Senator Mr. Sanders. Chair, yeah. I'm waiting on an amendment to come back from edit for SJ 14.
Okay, then we'll delay it today. Senator Sands.
Mr. Chairman, are we going to have more senators there? I would really prefer to have executive action, whether it's on a point of personal privilege or whatever, for Senate Bill 312 until we have a full committee present.
We're only missing one.
Are we? I can't see, you know, the detail in that room.
Yeah.
You're only missing one person?
Yes.
Senator McNally. Okay, great. I'm good with that.
Senator McNally. Okay.
Yeah, at the beginning, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, you know how that Keenan guy is.
I'm sorry. Okay. All right, we'll break for 10 minutes. Public Health is back in order, and we will go into executive action. And the order we will do is House Bill 37, House Bill 43, House Bill 208, and Senate Bill 312.
Mr. Chairman, I move due pass on House Bill 37. And this was, I do have it. This was Representative Welsh's bill about the medically needy spend down program. Being able to, if I remember right, they make cumulative additions okay.
And as far as I understand, there's no amendments?
I have none.
Is there discussion? Yeah. Senator McNally.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a, I think this is a very good bill. It came out of the interim committee, and the spend down issue has been a big problem for a long time. So anything we can do to make some progress there, I think, would be very helpful. So I'm very strong support of this bill.
I think if somebody calls question, we could probably do a voice vote.
Question.
All those in favor say yes.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, say no.
Senator Keenan votes aye by proxy. And Senator Molnar votes aye by proxy also.
House Bill 37 passed Public Health unanimously. House Bill 43.
Mr. Chairman, I move due pass on House Bill 43. This was the telemedicine bill by Representative Knutson. And I have an amendment, Mr. Chairman. So I will move to amend House Bill 43 with HB 43.1. Amend it with HB 43.2.1, Mr. Chairman.
And can you explain the amendment?
The explainment means that we amended the bill. It is page 13, line 9, changes telemedicine to telehealth. And that is, it was requested by the bill sponsor. Anybody need anything more than that? If I can get to page 13, I can tell you where that is.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that language was changed throughout the bill, and she might have just missed a spot.
Corey, is that correct?
Mr. Chair, members, yes, that is correct. It was an oops, and we'll just standardize it. And also, I just wanted to remind you that these are House bills.
Sorry. So I do concur.
Yeah, do concur.
All motions thus far shall be do concur.
So we'll have a voice vote on the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign.
Senator Keenan votes aye by proxy on the amendment, and Senator Molnar votes aye by proxy.
Then the amendment to House Bill 43 has passed. And
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 43 do concur once amended.
Is there any discussion? Can we do a voice vote?
Question.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. No opposed. Passed unanimously.
Senator Keenan votes aye by proxy. Senator Molnar votes aye by proxy.
And Mr. Heinbaugh, you will carry this? Okay. Diane, would you like to carry House Bill 37?
Sure, I can take that. Thank you.
Okay. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I move due pass House Bill 208. This is House Bill 208 by Representative Gillette, and that is the adoption services support bill.
Is there any
counseling? Yeah.
Is there any discussion? Can we have a voice vote?
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, Diane. Senator Sands.
Senator, I really like this bill. I've been involved with adoption services for probably 40 years in all kinds of different capacities. I think this is a really good bill. Sorry that Senator Molnar isn't here, since he and I, in our very first sessions in the legislature, were deeply involved in the establishment of some of the early adoption legislation. And I think having this adoptive decision support services, mostly it's just a change of name available, is a really good idea. And fully support the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Can we have a voice
question.
Vote? Somebody call question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, Senator, same sign.
Senator Keenan votes aye by proxy. Senator Molnar votes aye by proxy.
House Bill 208 passed public health unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, that is one I'd like to carry unless you've got somebody else in mind.
Senator Sands, I was going to carry it, but I'll defer it to you happily.
We could flip a coin for it either way.
Go ahead.
I'd be happy to defer it to you. Go ahead and take it.
Okay.
I took the last one.
Okay. Senator McGillivray will carry that on the floor.
And I'll be the me too.
Mr. Chairman, I move due pass on Senate Bill 312. This is Senator Sands' bill, so I'll let her explain it.
Senator Sands.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think this is a bill that has been a long time in the works. I want to say what this bill is not. This bill is not about restricting religious practice in residential treatment facilities. It's nowhere in the bill. It is nowhere in the licensing requirements of the state. I think I sent to all of you the 40-page copy of the things that they look at. This is simply about making sure that all children, even in residential treatment programs run by a religious entity, have the right to certain basic things. Freedom of religion does not mean that you have the right to abuse children or sexually, either sexually, physically, mentally, or emotionally. And I'm not saying that they do, but it doesn't give you a right not to be covered under the laws that cover every other organization. Religious freedom doesn't mean you can deny children food as a form of punishment. These are all related to the regulations that are required. Freedom of religion does not mean you have the right to corporal punishment. It doesn't mean you have a right to deny the trauma of survivors of certain facilities. Many of these facilities do a good job, but until we have transparency and accountability, we don't know that. And what we do know is that there are instances of bad players. We knew it when we were looking at sexual assault across the country. I'll mention the Catholic Church. Most of the Catholic Church is great, but we did have instances there which we had to hold them accountable. We have to hold all people accountable to ensure that all of our children are protected. And we have to believe them when they tell us, just like all sexual assault victims, that they have been abused, that they have been denied food, that they have not been allowed to call their parents, that they have been held in solitary confinement. Some of these things that have happened in facilities are things that we do not allow people who have been convicted and sent to the Montana State Prison. We do not allow them to be denied food, to be held in these ways, to be corporal, have corporal punishment. Certainly not in the name of God or in the name of therapy. That's all we're asking in this one. You are still free to practice your religion curriculum in these facilities, but we are obligated to protect children. This has now become a national issue. I should inform the committee. There's federal legislation under consideration, and for the last 4 years, I have been working with a number of senators in some other states because some of these, the bad actor ones, are moving from state to state, state to state, and avoiding any kind of regulation because of that. So there is a real necessity to do this. I'm not saying that all of these facilities are bad. We don't even know how many there are. There are probably at least five, according to the department.
But we've got to stop turning a blind eye just simply in the name of religious freedom, Mr. Chairman. And I really would ask you all to think about giving this a due pass.
Well, thank you for opening and discussing your bill.
Yes, there you go. You heard it all. That's it. Might as well get it out of the way.
Thanks very much. Senator McNally.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I've heard from, well, probably everybody on the committee has heard from a number of people who, are weighing in and asking that we pass this. And I think there was some misunderstanding during the hearing that it was targeting one particular program. I don't think that is not the case, and I know that there's more than one out there, and as the sponsor said, not clear how many, but I think it's really important that we just look out in general for the safety and health of kids, and it does not interfere with curriculum or anything like that. It's just a basic
Senator Hines.
Child welfare.
Sorry, were you finished? I'm sorry.
I am now. Thank you.
I guess I'll just call question.
Mr. Chairman, I have some comments I'd like to make, please.
Okay. You want a question?
Thank you. Yes, and as I've been reading through some of the testimony that we received, some of these, what's described in here is just absolutely horrifying, things you wouldn't wish on anybody. Pulled up the stairs by the ponytail and then kicked back down to the bottom again multiple times. I think the very first page of testimony discusses a child being beaten. Molestation. Just horrific testimonials here. And, these are testimonials. They have not been investigated because these organizations are not licensed and regulated, and no child should be submitted to anything that I've seen described in these documents, and we have a chance to put some oversight on this, not just state regulation and licensure, but for the legislature to also keep its eyes on what's going on and protect the safety and welfare of our children. And I hope we can pass this bill today.
Senator McGilvray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Here's my thoughts. I think that any child that's abused or in any situation, regardless of whether they're in an institution or whether in a group home or whether at any individual's home, we don't regulate every household in the state of Montana, but if there's abuse happening in that household, there's certainly the opportunity, and we've seen bill after bill discuss this issue where the state can come in and correct that and address it. And we also saw from testimony that there are certain state organizations that have had significant cases of abuse, and that didn't, they were regulated. So regulation or unregulation doesn't guarantee anything, but I think it's also, but it is true that regardless of where any individual is, if they're being abused, if it's illegal, if it's against the law can come in and address that situation. So that's why I'm not going to support this bill.
Question has been called. Take a roll call vote, please.
This is a roll call vote for SB 312 do pass. Vice Chair Glim.
No.
Vice Chair Gross.
Yes.
Senator Heinbaugh.
No.
Senator Keenan.
Senator Keenan votes no by proxy.
Senator McGilvray.
No.
Senator McNally.
Yes.
Senator Molnar.
No.
Senator Sands.
Yes.
Chairman Howard.
No.
Mr. Chair, 3 members have voted aye, 6 have voted no.
Senate Bill 312 has failed to pass public health. We'd go to a reverse and table.
Yeah, move to table.
Table. Have a roll call vote.
This is a roll call vote to table SB 312. Vice Chair Glim?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gross?
Yes.
Senator Heinbaugh?
Yes.
Senator Keenan?
Senator Keenan votes yes by proxy.
Senator McGilvray?
Yes.
Senator McNally?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? Yes. Senator Molnar?
Yes.
Senator Sands?
No.
Chairman Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, 8 members have voted aye, 1 has voted no.
Okay. Is there any further business today? We are going to meet next Monday. I'm going to try to have us get on the floor, or get in the committee a half an hour before start so we can do the executive action on the bills that we've already heard. More bills are coming in. We're going to be 4 bills every day until we get through with this. So it'll probably be at least the first week, if not the second week in April, that we'll finally finish. And with that, we'll end today's committee and start next Monday.
Have a good weekend.